Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to part two of our two-part series on the topic, Empowered to Preach Jesus. But before we get into the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, be blessed by some great music from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project titled, Let the Worshippers Arise, the name of this track is Because I'm Forgiven.
There's a reason why I bring you this simple offering, pouring out my love. Joy and gratefulness, still I sing this song of love and thanks and praise. It's because
after this day of Pentecost, that Peter was told by the angel, I've sent these Gentiles telling you to go to Cornelius's house and you need to go with them doubting nothing. There's about 10 years time from here till then when he finally stands in the house of a Roman centurion, a Gentile who fears God with all of his house, and opens his mouth and says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. 10 years have passed before God shows him the vision three times in which the unclean food represented Gentiles. And God told him, don't you call unclean what I have cleaned. Amen. People need to hear about Jesus. Look at how Paul stands in a sharp contrast to Peter. Now, Paul was educated, tutored, if you will, at the feet of one of the most sought-after teachers of the day, Gamaliel. And he was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. And he was zealous toward God, Acts 22:3. He fiercely persecuted the church of God, the Christian believers, until he met Jesus for himself on the road to Damascus. And this radically transformed Saul, who was later known as Paul, he readily accepted his call to be the Lord's chosen vessel to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, Acts 9:15. And as Acts 13 records, the church in Antioch sent Barnabas and Paul on their first missionary journey. Paul understood the promise to Abraham included all nations of the earth, not just Jews. Now, because Paul had a clearer understanding than Peter did and other of the apostles, had a clearer understanding of God's plan for salvation to be universally available, he didn't have any difficulty in responding to that night vision when a man of Macedonia said, "Come over into Macedonia and help us," Acts 16:9. Prior to this vision, Paul and his companions had been preaching throughout Asia Minor. And while ministering in Derbe and Lystra and Iconium and Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they faced much opposition, but their ministry produced much fruit. And the group had planned to go to Bithynia in northwest Anatolia, which is modern-day Turkey. That's a Roman province on the coast of the Black Sea. And they had intended to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit restrained them, and their plans changed because the Spirit suffered them not. So instead of going north to Bithynia, Paul and his company went west to Macedonia. The ancient kingdom of Macedonia had a rich history, having been a world power led by Alexander the Great. But in these times, it had been reduced to an impoverished Roman province. In fact, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, when he wanted to illustrate to the Corinthians an example of generosity, he cited the poverty of the believers in Macedonia who gave beyond their ability. And so most ministers either have had or will have a Bithynia experience. Let me tell you a true story about one of our young couples that felt called to be missionaries to Europe. They knew it was Europe. They knew it was Europe. They sensed with clarity the call of God. And all throughout their engagement and their early married life, they refused to become encumbered with material goods. Their meager furniture was functional and their home was pared down to bare necessities. They were running lean to avoid debt so they could be prepared to go as missionaries to Europe. Their entire focus was on gaining the needed experience that so that they could qualify to receive their missionary appointment to Europe. And one day, as this young preacher was working at a warehouse, he was called to the phone. And from world headquarters of the United Pentecostal Church, of the Global Missions Division, which back then was called the Foreign Missions Division, the very secretary of that division, Brother Paul Box, was on the line. And he asked if this young couple would be willing to go as short-term missionaries to Jamaica. Yeah. Not Europe. Jamaica, man. He wanted to go teach in the Bible school. And immediately, this minister thought of conversation that he had had a few years prior with a former Bible school roommate. And the roommate and his wife had gone to Jamaica and they had taught in the Bible school. Now, while they may have enjoyed teaching, their living conditions were a challenge. Cockroaches 2 to 3 inches in length were everywhere, even inside shoes and kitchen cupboards. And after hearing that story, that young minister had told his roommate, "I'll never go there." Be careful what you say you'll never do. I happen to remember a young preacher by the name of Billy Cole. Before he confessed his call, he ran from his call. And he told his wife at one point, he said, "I'll dig ditches before I'll be a preacher." Be careful what you tell God you won't do. And now the secretary of the Foreign Missions Department was on the telephone asking him to go to the very place that he had once said he will never go. But knowing his wife's heart and desire to serve the Lord and be used of God, this young minister gladly accepted the short-term assignment. In his mind, it didn't make sense to go to the Caribbean since God had called them to Europe. It seemed to be going the wrong direction. But when they arrived in Europe a few years later, they looked back and they realized how beneficial their time in Jamaica was to their ministry. Their experience in Jamaica proved to them that they could adjust to different cultures. Culture shock did not bother them. And their experience reinforced the need to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. He knew the way that they needed to go to gain the experiences needed to prepare to do His will. Now, the scriptures don't really clearly say whether or not Paul had any understanding of why the Holy Ghost forbid them to go to Bithynia. He probably felt frustration as he tried to comprehend the Spirit's leading. I remember also going back again to Billy Cole, when young Billy Cole had finally come around and had accepted his call to preach and was moving forward in that call. He had realized that he was called to Thailand. He went through some time praying for his wife to come to that realization. And finally she did in a great miraculous moment. And so now they have come before the Foreign Missions Board asking for permission to go, asking for appointment to go. Not so much permission, asking for support. Asking for endorsement and support. And at that time, there was a little secret policy. There was a little unwritten rule. The director of the Foreign Missions Department had a policy. He told everybody no, just to see how they would respond. And I remember the story at the headquarters hotel. Brother Billy Cole got onto an elevator with an official from Foreign Missions. And they said, "Well, Brother Cole, they have told you no." And he said, "Then they have missed the will of God. Tell them to vote again." Even though Paul may not have understood why he was getting a no in some cases, it's clear that Paul was not God's chosen minister to carry the gospel to Bithynia, nor was it God's time for Bithynia to hear the gospel. But I want to ask you to pay attention to the fact that at some point, somebody did take the gospel to Bithynia. We can read this in Peter's first epistle. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. He says this. He addresses it to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So God did get the message to Bithynia. Paul didn't have to ponder very long about the roadblock of being told no. In the night, he saw a vision of a man of Macedonia asking Paul to come and help them. And that vision gave him a clear direction. Paul and his companions departed from Troas and they sailed directly to Samothracia, an island in the Aegean Sea. It's about 32 miles off the coast of Thracia. And the next day they reached Neapolis, the port city of Philippi. And then they traveled on to Philippi and there they stayed certain days, Acts 16 and 12. Now in the Great Commission, as recorded in Mark 16, Jesus tells us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's Mark 16, 15. So without any doubt, it's God's will for everyone to hear the gospel. Now Paul fully understood that every creature means every person. That is regardless of ethnicity, regardless of gender, regardless of social standing, regardless of socioeconomics, regardless of physical wellness, regardless of what tribe or tongue. And so with that in mind, Paul began to look for people in Philippi to whom he could preach. First, he went down to the riverside on the Sabbath day to a place where prayer was wont to be made. And there he met Lydia, a woman who sold purple. And she was of the city of Thyatira, and she worshiped God, and her heart was opened by the Lord. She received the gospel that was preached by Paul. And then she provided lodging for him and his companions. And then the second character, can you believe this? Was a demon-possessed girl. And she followed after Paul and Silas and Luke and other companions. And she would shout out for the whole street to hear, proclaiming that they were the servants of the Most High and that they showed the way to salvation. Don't you know the devils hate it when they are forced to confess the truth? But after a few days of her endorsement, Paul turned around and rebuked the evil spirit and commanded it to leave that girl. And then she was set free. And because she was set free, she didn't have demons helping her to read people's fortunes anymore. And so she was a slave bringing silver profit to her masters when she would be aided by demons in telling people stuff that would amaze them. And now she's lost that power because she's been set free from that demon. And so her slave masters angrily seized Paul and Silas, and they took them before the magistrate, and they accused them of troubling the city. Now, that sounds familiar. A lot of Christians today are being told that they are troubling the society. They are troubling people. They said they were troubling the city by teaching customs that weren't lawful for Romans to receive or observe. And so an angry crowd, they instigated another riot. Isn't it interesting? Everywhere Paul went, he either had revival or riot or both. And so now there's another angry riot. The crowd rose up against Paul and Silas, and a magistrate commanded that they be beaten and then later jailed. Now the third lead character that Paul met was the jailer. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and worshiped, and God sent an earthquake that shook the jail's foundation, and it opened the doors and set all the prisoners free. God even caused that their shackles were set loose. And immediately the jailer feared that the prisoners were escaped, and he was ready to kill himself with his own sword. Paul, of course, had to say some emergency words to give a very quick summary to get this jailer to not kill himself. Now, when this magistrate who had had them beaten, when he realized that he had had Roman citizens beaten without a trial, he feared for his safety and he feared for the loss of his position. So the scripture says, that's the people that the magistrate sent, they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And so the band of preachers then returned to Lydia's home, and afterward they left the city. Now notice, Paul made connections with each of these contacts. Watch this. First, Paul went looking for someone to preach the gospel to. He purposely visited the Jewish synagogues and purposely went to the riverside. And then second, someone purposely followed Paul. Now, while the endorsement of the demon-possessed girl was negative, there are times when people are drawn to the saints because of the spirit that we manifest. And then the third, circumstances just threw Paul and the jailer together. And what some people might consider just mere coincidence is often God's method of connecting people. We need to always be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." I want to tell you, when you go to talk to somebody, Don't give them your opinion. And for heaven's sake, do more than just say, will you go to church with me? You need to understand, it is the gospel that we have been empowered to preach. The gospel, in a nutshell, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and that death on the cross pays for atonement from sins. Tell them the gospel from Philippi. Paul and Silas and their companions traveled on to Thessalonica. And as was his custom, Paul went first to the Jewish synagogue. And for three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, that's the death, and risen from the dead, there's the burial and the resurrection, and that this Jesus, whom he was preaching to them, was the Christ. There's the salvation aspect of it. When you talk to somebody, yes, invite them to church. Yes, tell them that they need freedom from their sins, but be sure to tell them how to get freedom from their sins. The death, burial, and resurrection. And tell them how to respond to the death, burial, and resurrection. The message that Peter preached was a simple truth of the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to look. There's three things there. Death, burial, resurrection. That is the gospel message of salvation. And it is effective and it is powerful all over the world. Now, also tell them how to respond to the gospel message. We obey the gospel by repenting of our sins. That matches with his death on the cross. And then by being baptized in water in Jesus' name, that matches with his burial in the tomb. And by receiving the Holy Ghost, that matches with his resurrection. Amen. Three core components of the gospel and three core components of how to obey the gospel. Amen. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only message that will save a lost world. Now, Paul's preaching produced results. And I want to tell you that if you'll tell people the gospel, it'll produce results. Sometimes those results will be revival, and sometimes those results will be riot, and sometimes both. The Bible says some of them believed and they consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. I want to tell you that we must not let opposition silence the gospel. We must not let opposition of the gospel silence the church. The scripture says that not all the Jews believed, and those that didn't believe were moved with envy. And they took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and they gathered a company, in other words, a riot, and they set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Opposition frequently follows the preaching of the gospel, but very wisely, the brethren sent Paul and Silas on out to Berea during the night. And Paul, once again in Berea, he went to the synagogue and he began preaching the gospel. And the Bible tells us in one place that those of Berea were more noble than those of Thessalonica, because when they heard the gospel preached unto them, they searched the scriptures daily to see if such things were so. There are some people that when you bring them the truth, they'll have enough decency and enough character and enough honesty to say, I need to go to the Bible and check and see if what you're telling me is right. Amen. The scripture says they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few, Acts 17. However, now the Jews in Thessalonica have heard that there's a revival going on in Berea, so they get up and journey to Berea to bring their portable riot on the road. And they stir up the people in Berea. Now, most of the time, some opposition will arise against the preaching of the gospel, but we must never let that hostility silence the message. We are empowered by the Holy Ghost, and we must follow Paul's example until everyone has heard the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And when we present the gospel, some will believe and others will not. And even though some may choose not to accept the message, some will accept the message. And either way, we have the responsibility and the privilege to proclaim the gospel. I want to ask you to stand with me. Paul's Macedonian call was an explicit call to evangelize. And that Macedonia call, come over into Macedonia and help us, it gave Paul the clear direction that he needed. However, if evangelism is going to be part of our daily lives, then we should expect God to bring us in contact with people that he wants us to witness to. I'll tell you an interesting true story. One of the employees that worked at the United Pentecostal Church World Headquarters in St. Louis, she worked for the Global Missions Department. She was a long-term employee, and she had come time to retire. And one of the missionaries that appreciated her work down through the years, he knew that she had a desire for a puppy. And so at the annual School of Missions, that missionary went around, and he took up an offering to buy her a puppy. And it was a Boston Terrier pup. And she named this Boston Terrier pup Janko. I don't know where people come up with the names. That's what she named him. We found out later, Janko is Serbian. You know what it means in Serbian? Gift of God. She said, these people took up an offering to buy me a puppy. That was God smiling on me to buy me a puppy. So she took her Serbian named Janko, gift of God. She took Janko to a local pet shop for puppy training classes. And at the pet shop, the assistant manager immediately fell in love with Janko, like as if Janko was hers. Now, the assistant manager had tattoos and multiple piercings. She was not someone that the Global Missions employee would normally have gravitated to. But somehow Janko helped to form a bond between these two ladies and open the door for puppy evangelism. And next thing you know, this assistant manager starts opening up to going to church and starts opening up toward having Bible study. And I'll have to check to see if we know what the rest of the story is, but they allowed what seemed to be a coincidence to become the providence of God to use a puppy to connect them together. It is God's will that everyone hears the gospel. And if we will be sensitive to his leading, God will direct our paths to the ones that we can minister to. My mind goes back to a point when I mentioned something about being sensitive to God. And Sister Cindy Murphy left the church and felt led of God to turn down a certain road and stop at a certain house and ask if they needed anything. And she provided to them some groceries. Folks, the Lord can connect us with people if we'll listen, if we'll be sensitive. But here's the danger. If we're out of tune, if we're cold in the Lord, if we're not hot and on fire for God and filled with the Holy Ghost, we can be tone deaf to the voice of the Lord. The Lord can be calling us to lead us, calling us to guide us, and we're too zeroed in on our focus and not honed in on his focus. And so I want to ask you tonight to seek the Lord in prayer and seek to get to a place where we are tuned in to the voice of the Lord. And let's make a commitment. Let's dedicate ourselves tonight in prayer that, Lord, when you lead me, I'm going to follow. And when you connect with me with somebody, I'm going to present the gospel to them. I want to invite you to find a place to pray. Let's seek the face of the Lord tonight so that we can take advantage of the fact that we are empowered to preach the gospel. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.